It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Good afternoon and welcome to freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. It is TGIF, and boy, I'm really glad to see this week kind of wind down. And this is Market Watch, of course, with yours truly, the Crow. And we've got so many things going on. In fact, I'm awaiting a service call from my cable people. Of course, I have a cable and I have AT&T, which primarily is a system I use for the radio, because it has been extremely reliable. Cable, I cannot say that about the cable. It's really been a problem. But anyway, let's get right to the market here. The market continues to push upward, and that today is no exception. It looks like the Dow Jones is going to be closing up about 296 points, 296.97. That puts the Dow Jones at 33,854 cents, another all-time record high. As I've mentioned many times, there is a deep divide between Wall Street and Main Street. Main Street continues to suffer, and Wall Street continues to plow ahead with reckless abandon. So it is something that you're going to need to pay attention to at some point in time in the very near future. We will have some form of a correction take place, and it could be very serious when that does, when that occurs. So it's a very good time if you have your investments in 401ks, or they're doing well, or if you're fortunate enough to own any of the premier stocks that are moving up almost on a daily basis. It certainly is a good thing. But the underpinnings of this market are very worrisome because of the fact that the separation, as I mentioned, between Wall Street and Main Street has grown even deeper and deeper. And when this is all over, you're going to have an entire segment of the economy that's going to be gone probably for a lifetime. even maybe longer than that. So we're still at a point in time that we don't know where we're going to end up when this is all over. The government has been shuffling money, you know, out to the, and that money has flowed into Wall Street, and is just going ahead with reckless abandon. Now, the thing about it is the other items that people watch, naturally gold, for instance, $1,743.40, down $1,480 today. Oil breaking back under the 60 mark at $59.32, down 29 cents. So there's just reason to be skeptical of where we are. If you're a person that has your money in 401ks or what have you, you need to keep your ear to the ground. And when this market does start correcting, and at some point a correction is going to happen. When? I don't know that I could tell you that, or anyone I know could tell you when that might occur. But certainly we're going to have a correction, and it could be a very serious correction. Look at the U.S. with the, and Europe is just in complete disarray. The European markets are doing the same thing. They're plowing and holding their own and moving up. But while the economies there are just, what it boils down to, the printing of money is just worldwide right now, with the exception probably of China. And so there has to be a reckoning day. A reset. Some people are calling for a global reset, and that very well could be what could be a result of this when this is all over. One thing that has always been the thing that people reach for and grab for in turbulent times is naturally been gold, and that's certainly not the case now. The emphasis is on Bitcoin. But, you know, to my knowledge, I'm not knowledgeable with Bitcoin, and I don't offer any information or advice on Bitcoin. I leave that to people that are there. But to me, I've never seen a Bitcoin. I don't know that anyone on this station has ever actually seen a Bitcoin, what it looks like or what have you. I would still think that your real value is going to continue to be an end result. Silver and gold, those two have held the from biblical time on to current time. Gold and silver have always been a measure of treasure, and so I certainly wouldn't go against that. And that doesn't mean to sell your house and go buy gold. I'm not advocating any of that. But if you have some ability to have a couple of gold pieces, that would be great. And if you have silver, don't get rid of it. Keep it for the hard times. So we're just in uncharted waters, folks. I mean, we have got a president that doesn't know the ATF from the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms from the AFT. The AFT, I should have told the current, I will, occupant of the White House, the AFT is Americans for Trump. It's kind of funny that acronym, when you just switch the places and it would be Americans for Trump, or ATF, the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. But he screwed that up, as well as most everything else that he is seemably touching. And so we'll just have to see where this all, it's kind of like a nightmare that we're living through with the virus. And I looked up where they came up with the corona virus. And actually, the head of the NIH or what have you, I think they're the ones that selected that name for corona. And it's an acronym made up of two or three different words. But we know where it came from, and we know the damage that it's done to the world and continues to do. And actually, it will probably be decades before we really are able to really see the damage that this has done, not only to all the people that have lost their life. And look, the virus began in Wuhan, China. There's no denying that. It originated there. And in my opinion, it was unleashed on purpose the very effect that it has had. While China, according to their reports, they are having one or two or a handful of cases a day. Now, that, of course, that's China news reporting that. And you can take that and probably throw it in the garbage because it's not accurate. Probably we will probably never know, but there could be millions upon millions in China that has died from a result of this. Of course, we'll never know. They're not going to be truthful about that or anything else to do with this virus. But I will never believe anything else other than the fact that President Donald J. Trump was really stepping on the toes of the Chinese, and they panicked and let this thing loose. Now, they may have not intended for it to do what it has done worldwide, but look at Europe. Europe is really suffering from this. Their economy and is really being battered around terrible. So markets are still trying to hold themselves up. But look, do you believe that our country is stronger now than it was 18 months ago after the damage that that this virus is put upon our entire country? Not only that, the world as well. So it just doesn't match up to me. I just can't see it, that this economy can sustain itself at the level that it is. Think about that. Now, here's the thing about it. Of course, I'm an old broker. I've been around the market for longer than most of you have been alive. And I can remember, you know, trading the Dow Jones with E.F. Hutton many, many years ago. We had a rough time just keeping the Dow Jones above 500. The first time the Dow Jones ever closed above 1,000 was the election of Ronald Reagan as the president of the United States. That was the first time that the market had closed above 1,000. And that's not ancient history. I mean, that's, a good number of our population are alive and will remember that well. But here we are now with a market that today said that it's worth $33,800. Now, of course, what has made this possible is the fact that inflation is, when Cokes were a nickel and now they're a dollar, when cars were $3,000 and now they're $30,000. It's inflation. And the government is the creator of inflation. Make no mistake about it, because it gives them more power. It gives them more ability to expand and grow the government when you have inflation, because the dollars are out there and they can just pour those down. And look at our national debt now, approaching $30 trillion. Now, at some point when the Federal Reserve does raise interest rates, and at some point they will be forced to, they can't keep this up forever. At some point, you will have the Federal Reserve, and it's going to knee-jerk the market when that does happen. And over a course of history, you've had the federal rate at normally 2 or 2.5%. That pretty well was what was accepted, and pretty well went on for many, many years. And now you're sitting here with zero, and the debt just keeps accelerating, and it just seems like Washington is oblivious to anything to do with the debt. I understand that the psychology of people right now with people, the number of people that are dying from the virus and the people, it seems to me that it's having a tremendous effect on the number of murders, particularly in your big, heavier populated cities. Murder rates are just out of sight. And people are nervous, I guess, and their mental facilities are being taxed and saying, well, maybe I'm going to die from the virus. I'm going to go kill whoever I've been hating all my life. I'm going to take them out too. So I don't really know what's going on. But the world, we're going through something that modern history has never seen anything comparable to it. And, of course, the government likes to seize power when they have the opportunity, and that's exactly what is going on here. You have the government now that is just taking control of this, that, the other, and I don't know. It's really we're in uncharted waters, as I've said many, many times, and where this all ends up, I don't think the economist, I don't think the smartest heads on Wall Street, I don't think the smartest heads in the government, I don't think any of them really has anything factual that you or I could really say, well, this is what we can expect, because we've been lied to about the virus. We're being lied to about the various vaccines now. You don't know which is what. You don't know which is safe. Some people are taking this one and having a reaction to it. So what's a person to do? I haven't taken any, and my plans are to not take any. That's just me. You know, I don't tell anyone else what to do. I think everybody can make their own mind up, you know, as to what they how they want to handle it. But for me, That's just the way that I think about it. I've been bitten by rabid dogs. I've had to take vaccines for that, 21 rabies shots for that. So, you know, about the only thing that I do is howl at the moon once in a while. And so I don't know. It's just something that if it was really tested and proven, and there was really concrete proof out there, then perhaps I would assume it. But, you know, that's just my opinion. And I don't advise anyone to take or not take. That's up to you and your family and your physician, whatever. That's strictly up to the individual. And I don't think the government has the right to enforce or force people to do things as well. Now, what gets me is the mask. Think of all the billions of dollars that have been spent on masks. Just the mask industry for this virus has just been enormous. And all of the subsidiary type industries that have sprung up off of it. And it is still so strange to me to go to a bank with your mask on, and a year ago or 2 years ago, if you walked in with a mask on, you'd probably be shot by someone in the guard or whatever at the bank. And now, if you walk in without a mask, most of the places, they want to call security and slam a mask on you. But it's just, none of us alive have been through anything equivalent to this. Now, the prince passed away today, and 99 years old, and he lived a very long and good life. And so, you know, I don't think if you've made it to 99, I don't think you can complain. That's pretty darn good. And, you know, I think the people in the UK are definitely going to miss him. And now that leaves open who will be succeed Queen Elizabeth. Her, you know, she's getting on the age as herself. will Prince Charles be it or whatever? We don't really know what the situation will end up being there. But we do send our sympathies to the royal family. Look, doesn't take politics out of it. The loss of any life lessens us all. That's my belief. I've never liked to see anyone death just to think, well, we're better off without them. I just don't think that way. Every life is important. And you may disagree with that person. You may have opposite opinions completely of that person. But it doesn't give you the right to either take a life. I just have never been able to imagine me taking someone's life or killing them for whatever, in anger or whatever. I had a lot of fights in high school. In fact, we were notorious for fighting. But when we got through, we got up and shook hands. I certainly didn't want to kill anyone. Things are not that way anymore. It's a different world. We have a society that has been spoon-fed off of television and movies and what have you. And to a great degree, I think a large part of our society lives in a fantasy-type land. I don't think that they are really aware that, well, this is not real. That's just what the movies depicted as being. And, I haven't been to a movie or paying theater in many, many years. I don't even remember. I did go see The Godfather when it was first released. And I don't remember having gone to a live movie house after that. So that they're not making a lot of money off of me. Of course, TV and HBO and things of that nature really changed the movie industry completely anyway. And I can remember when I was a kid, you could take 50 cents on Saturday and go to the hamburger joint, get you a hamburger and maybe a soda pop for about 15 or 20 cents, and then go to the movie, get a bag of popcorn, and sit there all day and watch them. You know, you could watch the same movie, watch the Westerns over maybe a couple of times. And, well, those days are over with. And it's such a shame because America was so innocent in those days and completely. I can remember my cousin actually ran. He was a projectionist at the movie theater, and I could go up into the booth a lot of times and watch movies. And when the movie The Outlaw came out with Jane Russell, and she had that famous bra that Howard Hughes had developed particular for her for that movie, and it was at the time you would call it a restricted audience or what have you, but anyway, I was able to go up, and I wasn't old enough to go in the theater, but I could go up, and I went up and watched the movie up there, even though I wasn't supposed to. But because my cousin actually was a projectionist, I could go up and visit him, and therefore I was able to watch the movie. But things have just really changed so much in the last, each decade. You can go to the decades and you can go back to your old IBM punch cards, where everything was on punch cards. And now, with the computer systems out there, with artificial intelligence and everything that we've got now, the world is just, we're on the cusp of who knows what. What is next with all of the innovations that are coming forth as a result of the computer? Simply put, the computer with facial recognition now, and they can pick your face out of a crowd and identify you. It is truly, we live in an amazing time. And whether it's for the good or for the bad or what have you, time will tell. But there's really not much that we, the people, common people, can do about it, because we've pretty well lost control of the government, because the people that we elect to Congress Once they hit Washington, they put them in the decompression chamber and they dehumanize them and they become a full-fledged politician there. And then they will come back home and shake hands and spend some money that the PACs have given them to get reelected to make sure that they can get across their donors' wishes. Not you, the people's wishes, but their donors' wishes, those that are throwing $100,000, $200,000 at them at a time. Those are the people that buy the rules, regulations, and the laws that the rest of us pretty well have to live by. So that's where we are, folks. It's really, when you stop and think about it, it's not too happy, is it? But we will survive it. I've often believed that America will survive and we will get through this time. And hopefully we will be a better nation once we're through it. This is a troubling time. I think it's troubling for all, you know, your family, your loved ones, you're worried. And that, I think, is what's causing the crime spree across the country. People are just so unhinged. They don't really know what to do. So we're basically all in a survival mode, if really what it boils down to. It seems like, well, let's just try to survive and get through this. There's better days ahead, and hopefully they are. We're getting very close to the break here in about another few seconds, so I've got a few things that I wanted to mention, but I'll wait until we go for the break for that, and we'll get back with that when that does occur. But that really tickled me that Biden called the ATF the AFT. And I just made that acronym Americans for Trump, and he meant to say ATF, which is alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. And so there we go with the break. So stay with us, and we'll be jumping on the love train, and then we'll be right back with you.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West. Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Welcome back to freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. This is Market Watch with yours truly, the Crow, and it is TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. Boy, there's been so many unusual things happening. First of all, I'll take a minute to kind of cover a couple of them. First of all, the cable company cut a fiber optic somewhere. And that was like 3 days ago. Well, within, I guess, 15 or so hours, they had that up and repaired and back online. Well, my cable operated for about just 6 or 7 hours or what have you. And then what happens? The modem goes out. So, I mean, the two are unrelated, I feel sure, but it's just one of those circumstances that happen. Then I was having a plumber. I had some problems with the plumbing between the kitchen sink and between where on down where your bathtubs and all hook into there. Somewhere there needed cleaning out. So anyway, the guy that was the first one I had, he didn't correct the problem. So I called another guy that was highly recommended. And the day before he'd come one time and didn't solve it. He said, "I'll be back. I'll come back tomorrow and we'll get it straightened out." Well, what happens? His wife dies. suddenly a young person, and you know, not old at all by any imagination, and I would guess in the late 40s. So here I am, this poor guy's wife passes away, still sitting there with the problem, still sitting there with the problem with the cable that I've had now going on a week. Fortunately, I have AT&T as backup, and that's where we usually use it to do my radio time, is because it is reliable. But here we are with the cable, and now I've been waiting since 1 o'clock for the cable guy to bring a new modem and install the modem for the cable. And, you know, I don't really watch that much television, but I do keep it on in the background for background noise that you may watch news once in a while and then switch it to something else or whatever. I watch the AHC with a lot of the old war movies and stuff of that nature. And it's just a diversion while I'm sitting here in front of these five or six computer screens trying to determine, should I buy this or should I sell it or whatever. So that's kind of the way the time flows through. But one thing about it, they certainly are never late sending you the bills. You get the bills always on time, but when it comes to getting you back up and on, I've been waiting since 1 o'clock my time for the guy to just simply bring a new modem and install the modem for the cable. But one thing it has done, sitting here with this, it has allowed me to do some reflecting, thinking, well, do I really need all of this? Do I need this? Or is AT&T is, and I'm not in love with AT&T because they're one of, you know, these big mega conglomerates that they are. They're really no better than the cable people, but their service has been more reliable as far as I'm concerned. But here we are at a time of where, listen to this. Can you believe that New York is going to give illegal immigrants a one-time payment of up to $15,600? So let's get a busload of friends and all, and we'll go to up to New York and tell them, hey, we're illegal. We don't speak English. We're illegal. Where do we get our $15,600? The state of New York, and I mean, it's plainly out there, they're going to give illegal immigrants a one-time payment of up to $15,600. It doesn't say legal immigrants now. I guess they will get nothing. If you came here legally, you don't get anything. Isn't that rewarding people to do wrong? Does a country have any right? If you draw, even in biblical times, every country had their borders. So does a country have any right to control who comes and who goes in the country? Seems to me that you really don't have a country. You had a couple of that have been discovered, a couple of Yemenis from Yemen that were that were caught. So how many are getting through? How many are getting through? But to take the state of New York with their legislator pass this act to give up to $15,600 to illegal immigrants, that nothing, the common people get nothing. So if you're law-abiding and you were born here and ready, you get nothing. It just really doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not. Maybe I'm not up to speed on thinking. Maybe I think wrong. Whatever, you know. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right to me. But anyway, our president, like I said, to confuse the ATFs for American tobacco, the AT&T is alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. And to confuse that otherwise just seems a little bit strange to me. I had my camera on so that I could see if and when I do get the cable. And I've called the cable people. They said, well, he'll be there between 1 and 5, which is a four-hour window that you got to you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. You really can't get involved in doing anything else because you don't want to miss them. Because and all he has to do is come in and switch the modem out. That's it. I'm assuming that's it because that's what they said. That's what they told me. That's not my opinion. That's their opinion. So I don't know. But are you having any problems digesting what is being funneled to you via the news, particular CNN? And if you watch them, and I don't, I have to be honest with you. What little I watch Tucker Carlson. I think he is probably the straightest shooter, probably in the industry, in my opinion. But as far as the others, no, I don't watch CNN. I haven't watched it since the Gulf War. They did really good reporting then, but what happened? I don't know what happened to CNN. They were a good news organization when they started, when Ted Turner actually started CNN. They filled the space where other CBS and ABC and those networks were leaving gaps in there, and CNN came along and they gave you more in-depth on the spot news, and that grew to be a power. And then they changed. I guess when Time Warner bought CNN out and took them over, then you get to Madison Avenue in New York, and it's a whole different mentality that's being projected there currently. So I don't know. It's hard. You know, when you have a news organization come on and their head people at the news organization tells you something, you want to believe that, hey, these people know what they're talking about. I guess I should believe it. So you have to sift through. And so it makes it difficult for the American. I think a vast part of our population is being misled, not told the truth, not told the truth about the election. Do you believe for one moment, be honest with yourself, do you believe that Donald J. Trump lost the election to Joe Biden? You can't believe that. If you use any rational thinking, You couldn't believe it. The election was stolen. You know it. I know it. And when ballots were brought in by the truckload, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, counting stopped and then started again. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs for the greatest democracy in the world, in the greatest country in the world, to be living with that legacy that will be cast on us forever. We'll never, ever live that down. Will there ever be another honest election? Look, I realize that voting is a privilege, but it's also a right. But what is wrong with a person getting up and going out to their precinct and voting? I don't think you will ever have another fully fair and honest election as long as mail-in type balloting is going on. And now they're even expanding it further and further. I really think that is an insult to our democracy to just keep letting it happen. I really am concerned that we will ever have another honest and fair election. You've always had fraud in there. As I've told you before, Lyndon Johnson was first elected to Congress with 23 dead ballots. People that were dead had voted for him, and that was why he was nicknamed in his early days Landslide Lyndon. 23 people that were dead, and he only won by the 20-vote margin or so. And if those dead people hadn't been able to vote for him, he would have never been a member of Congress and therefore would have never been president of the United States. So when you can't have integrity in an electoral process, you really don't have a country. And I hope that you realize and recognize that our country is at grave risk of losing that very freedom that we have fought and died for generations past. I've lost a brother that fought for this country and died with Agent Orange. I lost a dear cousin in the snowfields of Korea, in the Korean War. My older uncles were in the Second World War. I had one that was old enough that he was actually in the First World War. He was in the Navy. So my family has really fought for this country. And to see it just abused and misused, and the politicians, if we don't do something with all of this money that pours into Washington, I don't know how we would stop it. But something has to happen. We have to correct it. It has to be corrected, or we'll never have fair elections anymore. And if you don't have that, you really don't have much of a country. And of course, Joe Biden, I don't have anything personally against Biden, but, you know, when I think about him, I think of him, the only job I think he had a paper route in his youth, maybe, but I do know that he was a lifeguard. And you've probably seen the deal with him with the hair on his legs, the kids rubbing the hair and making him stand up on his legs or what have you. That's his claim to fame, you know. I'm sure that the lady that's married to him now, which she divorced her husband, he pretty well broke that marriage up and then married her. But I don't know. And now his son, Hunter? good grief. You know what? On the first stimulus that President Trump, when he announced it and all, you had it within days. It was bingo, bam, bam, bam. Now, I think Hunter must be managing this last one, and they're trying to figure a way. Well, how can I get part of a big? How can I get that to Hunter? You know, good grief. He's been a rotten son. Face the fact. It's no doubt about it. His laptop proved it. With all his crack smoking and all the other things involved, he's not what you want your son to grow up and be. And I'm sure that it certainly wouldn't be mine what I would want my son to grow up and be. I'll put it that way. But what are we going to do now? There are some elections that are being brought up. Arizona's being brought back up again. That group they don't want to be able to examine those ballots or what have you. So in other words, we were able to steal this, and we don't want to let you find out how we stole it. So, you know, I don't know. It's really worrisome to me that our country has slipped to this point and the people are accepting it. Think about this. The virus that China unleashed on the world and what it's done to the economy. And as I've already told you, the stock market is completely acting insane, just to be honest with you. The money that's pouring into this market, at some point, I really fear we're going to have a super hard correction. It's long past due, but with the psychology of the country, I think Washington and New York's mentality is, with the psychology of the country as damaged as it is currently, if we let this market fall down, which is what it should be doing, but if we let that happen, we'll be in panic mode completely, and I don't know what would happen. I'll just be honest with you. If the stock market were to start collapsing at this level, with the mentality in our country currently as it is, it would truthfully be extremely scary. So let's just hope that we can get through it. And if these states that would finally begin to relax some issues and take these nooses off of our neck from, the irregardless of what's going on, we can overcome it, but we have to unite. Remember, there's two people that I always remember, and I have respect for both of them. I always remember what Rodney King said after he was beaten by that trucker in California. He says, "Why can't we just all get along?" And of course, my other famous line, Sammy Davis Jr., his big line was, "We may not always see eye to eye, and we may not always dance cheek to cheek, but if you mess with us, we'll march shoulder to shoulder." Well, I don't know that that's true anymore. The races, a country will not stand divided racially. We can't. And I have many black friends, and I'm not going to let anyone separate me from those years of friendships that I have with those people. I talk to some of them regularly. A couple were employees of mine back when I was in the business. Another one is an acquaintance that I made some time back. And these are friends. They're black and they're my friends. And they will always be my friends. And I'm not going to let the government separate me from those friendships there. And I think we have to look at things that way in a colorblind society where you gauge a person on the strength of their merits and the kind of person, not on their color whatsoever. I talked to a black lady friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in years last night. I just had randomly called her and she said, "Oh, I am so glad to hear from you." And she said, "I wondered about you and thought about you." And I said, "Well, I talk to our mutual friend quite often, and I always ask about you. But I said, I just decided today I'm going to call you." And she was so happy that we had a long conversation. And you know, it's so easy. Isn't it so easy to just like people and get along? You know, I just have never had the ability to hate. I can't hate people. I never developed that ability. And I'm really kind of proud of that, because I think if you've got hate in your heart against anything, now naturally I'm not a big fan of snakes, and I'm not going to go out of my way to cultivate any friendship with snakes, but you know, everything has a place and every person has a place, and I will give you your space. And I expect you to give me my space as well. And then we'll get along. We will get along fine. If you don't step on my toes, I won't step on yours. We can dance. We can get along and we can be friends. But respect me and I'll respect you. In fact, I'll respect you first. I'll give you the benefit of a doubt. I'll give you my respect first. But then I expect it back. And that's basically the way that I've lived my life. And I hope to continue to in the same way. So it's been such a blessing to have this radio station. And I do need to mention to you that the only way this station stays on the air is with your support. And make a $5, $10 contribution, whatever you can afford. No one is asking you to pay to deprive yourself of food or livelihood or any of those things. So do what you can and go to the homepage. If you really want to have fun with a lot of great people, then join the chat room. A lot of people are in there. A lot of information is shared in the chat room. And just a great bunch of people there. Just don't flirt with my girls there. That's the only thing I ask. I got some sweethearts over there that are just great girls. And so don't be flirting with them too much. But go there and have a good time. And remember, support the station it is. And always remember Nighthawk. Such a genius. He was a genius in his own time. And when I hear his voice on the station, it's almost if he's still there. We love you, Nighthawk. I hope that you're up there playing a harp somewhere and sending those melodies down to us. He was a great artist, a great musician, and one of the smartest guys that I ever met in my life. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But anyway, I think we're about to wind up our time here. We've got about 20 or 30 seconds. So I want to thank each and every one of you for taking your time to listen to me and put up with me as long as I've been here. I've been at the station for a long, long time, ever since its early days. And I appreciate each and every one of you. And I think we're about 10 seconds away from the music. So have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Stay safe. Bless your family. Be thankful you have what you have. And we will get through this, and we'll be a better nation, hopefully, when it's all over with and done. So that's it for me today. God bless you. Take care.
Unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
My name is Mr. Rowe, I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.